Thank you, Fred. That may be a low-grade pun, but at least it got a reaction. It is true, I am Lad Skinner, an alcoholic. You may not agree with the first part of that, but I'll assure you that the name Skinner is no asset to a lawyer. I have always had a great deal of respect for my wife, in particular this morning. Do you remember that she said something about an honest day's work? Loving a husband? I think she was talking about me. Now, there's one thing that woman has. It's a deep perception and truthfulness. And I am not going to tell you anything about myself tonight for fear that I might destroy that image. That puts me somewhat in a state of mixed feelings or confusion or whatnot, all of which is to give me an excuse to ask you this question. Did you ever wake up, any of you alcoholics, in the morning, or come to in the morning, with one sock on and the other one in your hand and wonder which way you were going? One of the reasons why, if I needed a reason, to accept Jim's kind invitation to come here was that I was reasonably sure that any of those of us who go the distances that we do to take time away from our jobs and away from our homes and the regular routine of things is that we're interested in going on in this life of ours beyond sobriety. And that we are willing and anxious to consider some ideas and possibly develop some curiosity of things that lie on and beyond. Now, this is not by any stretch of the imagination to minimize the importance of sobriety. This is, on the contrary, to emphasize what I think is the importance of sobriety. I believe that we will all, first, last, and always, recognize that without sobriety, none of these other things are possible. Speaking of the word curiosity, which in turn gives me an excuse, didn't remind me, I planned this for several days, to tell a story that Myron Cohen, one of my favorite storytellers, in dialect, so not having the dialect, please visualize this, if you can, as being told to you in the proper dialect. It seems that this elderly Jewish lady realized that death was imminent very soon, and she went to this artist and asked that he paint her likeness exactly as it was today. Just exactly. Every gray hair, all the chins receding, all the wrinkles, and if when you get through you have a bit of paint left, I would that you would paint a tiara from one side to the other, loaded with diamonds. And I would that you would paint some enormous earrings with a huge diamond on either side. The artist said to her, but I thought you wanted it exactly as you are today. She said, yes, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to die, and my husband, he's going to marry again. And I want that his next wife should drop dead of curiosity, wondering where all those diamonds are. I believe we will agree that living a normal, healthy life, that all the experience and the education and the training and the things that we learn are absolutely worthless to us if we don't put them to some use, if we don't gain some advantage from them. For instance, what good does it do us? Let's start out with the ABCs of AA, of alcoholism. What good does it do us to admit that we're an alcoholic if we don't do something about it? What good does it do us if we give lip service, I mean, if we repeat the 12 steps, and in that we say, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him, unless we actually go beyond giving lip service to it? What good does it do us to take an inventory? We go through all that laborious task, and I can assure you, I can share with you the unpleasantness of taking a deep, searching moral inventory. Go to the trouble of writing that down and making a list of it and see what a tremendously unbalanced situation it is. If we don't put it to some advantage, if we don't learn something from it, if we don't do something about it, what good does it do us to make these amends when indicated if we turn right around the next day and go back and offend the same people by doing the same things? These are things that I believe that are beyond the first step. I'm sure that you, like I, have seen a number of people who have gotten sober in AA and stayed sober many, many years until they've died, possibly, who have never done more than take the first step. But I believe we will also agree that those who have progressed beyond a mere recognition of an alcoholic problem are a great deal happier. I wonder how many of us actually mean when we say, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I wonder, from a personal standpoint, just how deeply I mean that. Am I willing to actually accept some of those things? Am I willing to do something about it? Am I willing to make the decision of drawing the line after I have fully informed myself as best I can, considering what capabilities or limitations I may have, of actually saying, on this side, I can accept and do nothing about it. Beyond that lies within my power to do something. Or do we want, as I am prone to do way too many times, to reserve my right to grouse or to complain? I remember a story that I heard someone tell not too many years ago of this man who came out of military service, and he liked this idea of regimentation. And this reminds me of a lot of us alcoholics. Oh, how we like to sit on that throne and hold court. How we like to have mother and the children, figuratively speaking, pick up the side of their skirt and tiptoe around us and give us the floor. How we revel in our illness of alcoholism. How we thoroughly enjoy it. How many is the time that I've awakened in the morning, didn't have a thing in the world to worry about, became miserably unhappy because I had no unhappiness. My God, that's a lonely and empty feeling. This fellow decided that he was going to operate his household and his home on a military basis. He was going to hold formations early in the morning every day, and he was going to give the orders of the day, and they were going to be carried out that way, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And he set out all these rules and all these regulations, and when he got through, he said, are there any questions? A little six-year-old redhead stepped out and said, yes, sir, what's your question, son? He replied, how do I go about getting a transfer out of this outfit? I'm not too sure, but what maybe some of us may be overworking this disease of alcoholism as setting it up on a pedestal over and above and beyond what we might reasonably be expected to do. I'd like to share with you a few what I think are similarities between, in generalities, mind you, between alcoholism and some of the other more commonly known diseases about which we hear a great deal. A tubercular patient, for instance. The disease is, or the illness is identified, it's diagnosed, and there's certain treatment prescribed. Fresh air, sunshine, certain diet, certain foods, tremendous amount of rest, and no smoking. What a repulsive thought that is, no smoking. The same thing would be true with the cardiac or heart patient. Rest, don't overdo it, keep everything at an even keel, certain diets prescribed, abstinence from smoking possibly. The same thing would be true with the diabetic. Avoid sugars, the proper intake of insulin. Now with an alcoholic, to be sure, the disease of alcoholism, as I said, is not as readily identifiable. But let's, for the moment and for the purposes of illustration, just say that the person has been identified as having alcoholism. Now, there are a number of things available to us. AA, we'll think of for the moment to the exclusion of the others, not to degrade them or downgrade them or forget them, but as I see it, and I think you will agree with me, that the AA way is unquestionably one of the best, and undoubtedly, as far as I'm concerned, draw your own conclusion, the very best there is. There are certain suggestions made to us, namely the 12 steps. There are certain suggested things over and beyond those. Now, what happens to any of those four classifications? We forget and we become careless. The tubercular doesn't get his rest. He doesn't take the prescribed medication. The same thing happens to the heart patient. The diabetic doesn't like his food. He doesn't like his diet without sugar, so he takes on a little more sugar. His insulin isn't handy, so he skips it this morning. Or maybe he overdoes it today and he goes into, what is it, Jack, a coma? Shock. And tomorrow he may be frightened of it. Now, what happens to the AA, or to the alcoholic? He too gets careless. And he's not thinking exactly as he, as has been suggested to him. And he's not thinking exactly as he was when he first got sober. The pressure builds up. He overdoes his work. He's out at a party or he's off on a business trip. And oh, Lord, how I remember those business trips, some of which were legitimate, some of which I manufactured. Knowing long in advance what I was going to do, the business came secondary. Then he takes a social drink or two. Now let's see, is an overconfidence common to all of those things? Didn't we forget to follow directions? Didn't we forget that we had a serious illness? And didn't we cease to think properly? In other words, we rationalized ourselves out of the sense of our own perilous reality. We forgot to think. We forgot to act. I don't entirely subscribe to the idea that AA is only concerned with today. I believe you will agree with me that most alcoholics have a number of things in common. That is, resentment, self-pity, antisocial attitudes, fear, selfishness, jealousy, disrespect for others, lack of faith, lack of love, lack of hope. Now, we have seen far too many people, alcoholics, come into AA and encounter difficulty. We regret that. It makes our heart bleed for them. We go all out to do everything we can. We always keep that door open for them. We are always willing to do everything in our power to do it. In so doing, can't we, as active members of AA, stated another way, as inactive alcoholics. Can't we learn something from other people's adversities, other people's difficulties? Out of that, can't we come away from those situations a stronger and better human being, a stronger member of AA? I think that we miss a good bet when we overlook, when we're doing 12-step work, so-called, or when we're working with other people, if we don't relate these things to ourselves and gain from it in every detail that we possibly can. Now, I know in my own life that certain events either preceded or accompanied my drinking bouts. I never had to have an excuse as such. I would manufacture one if none existed. If there was no birthday, I would manufacture a birthday. There was always someone somewhere in the country that had a birthday. If I won a lawsuit, well, I was on cloud nine. If I lost one, it wasn't my fault, it was the jury's fault, or it was the court's fault, or my client was no good. He shouldn't have won anyway. Like that reasoning? But he darn well better pay me. I can assure you that. I know that when I became overly exhausted, or when I didn't eat regularly, or when I entertained less than wholesome attitudes for the sake of taste and shame, we'll let that drop there. I know that when my thinking was too far away from that line that a decent code of ethics indicated to me, that I was sooner or later going to get in trouble. Rules and regulations are irksome to, I started to say us, I will confine that to myself, because they're restraining, prohibitive, and negative. Fortunately, AA for us provides an affirmative set of guidelines as I see them. Now, for me to live within those guidelines, and believe me, I subscribe to living within those guidelines, I don't want to improve on this program. I don't want to change it. I just want to get everything out of it that is there. I don't want to stop and let George do it from here on. I want to work at it. I want to do everything within my power to do it. But I must stay sober. I must maintain that first, last, and always. I believe one of the best ways for me to do that is to develop a philosophy of this program, which is not exactly spelled out in the 12 steps, to be sure. That's a suggested program. That's a suggested way of staying sober. But that doesn't spell out to us how we will conduct our lives or how we will conduct ourselves in our communication and our dealings with everyone in our everyday life. So I believe that I have to work out some sort of a plan of my own that fits my own needs and work that out in a manner that it is inoffensive to other people. I don't have a right in this life of mine to work out any plan in which I harm other people. I don't think it's necessary for us to devise a plan of operation that is offensive to other people in their right and proper thinking. I grant everyone the right to his own opinion. I think everyone has a right to be wrong, in case he disagrees with me. I think I have the same right, and I think that I should develop this philosophy, and in so doing, learn to live with other people. Learn to be honest because I want to be honest. Want to and actually do an honest day's work. Respect others and respect other people's rights. And again, first, last, and always, remember why I came to AA. Now let me go back a bit at the risk of destroying that image I mentioned a while ago. I can assure you that when I came back to AA in 1948, there was not a great deal left. As Jerry indicated to you this morning, my initial contact with AA and her initial hopes of something being done about this alcoholic problem of mine started in the summer of 1940, I believe. Now, there were some various reasons which Jerry, in her charity to me, did not relate this morning as to why I was willing to give lip service to AA at that time. I had been elected to a public office in 1937, and incidentally, the voters corrected that error in 1941. And, of course, they then became a group of ingrates, as far as I was concerned. They didn't realize what they were depriving themselves of. Oh, that reminds me of something. Now, seriously, I didn't plan this. Jerry and I had occasion to be at a reception at the National Lawyers Club in Washington the other night, and at which I understand at one time or another there were two or three justices of the Supreme Court, including Chief Justice Warren. We understood they were there earlier. And various other judges were there from the various courts in Washington. And a rather sordid thought ran through my mind while we were wandering around there. What a damn shame this didn't happen when during my drinking days, because all of these judges here are being deprived of my legal knowledge. And just think what I could have given them back prior to the time I stopped drinking. Well, obviously that, I hope you recognize, obviously that was in a facetious frame of mind, but I shudder to think what might have happened if it had occurred during my drinking days. I don't think we would have enjoyed it the way we did and come away from there with the pleasant memories of it that we did. Those, my friends, are some of the advantages and the privileges that have been afforded to us and been made possible to us by reason of my being sober. I want to regain a place in the community. I want to be respected as such. I want to be respected as the human being that I was put on this earth, I believe, and expected to be. I want my employers, I have long since ceased to work for myself, thanks to my drinking days. I might say that I've had an opportunity to go back to private practice after having been sober several years. We didn't trust me. By that, I don't mean Jerry. I mean this heart and this conscience and this recognition and this knowledge that I have. That's the reason I didn't go back. This business of being on my own and going back to the scenes of my many crimes in the true sense of the word, as well as literally, bore too many temptations. So I continued to work for a salary, and I'm happy in it. I want to be able to go to sleep tonight, and I think that I will be able to go to sleep tonight, incidentally better than I did last night, worrying about this and being concerned about it. And I want to be able to go to sleep tonight without the fear of waking up tomorrow morning. You don't know how much, you just don't realize how much pleasure I get out of waking up in the morning and knowing that I can face every human being in this world without the fear of what lie did I tell him last night? Whom did I cheat yesterday? Whose feet did I step on unnecessarily? What did I do that disgraced my family? Whom did I embarrass? One of the greatest pleasures I get out of this sobriety of mine is to step out of our house which faces east. No, I don't see a star appearing there when I step out in the morning over in the east. It isn't that, the event isn't that great. But I do get a tremendous amount of pleasure out of walking down those half dozen steps and looking across the Potomac River and seeing that sun come up over there and being happy to see it come up. Seeing those leaves turning brown on the little tree that we have in our enormous front yard, which is about 6 by 8 feet. And seeing the beauty of those leaves without thinking at the same time that they're going to fall, I'm going to have to rake them up next month. Being able to realize that a rose bush has roses on it which are beautiful and smell sweetly, rather than to be afraid of those thorns that may prick my hands when I start working around them and not being able to see the rose. The fact that it's a pleasure to walk into the office in the morning, to some degree, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and going in the front door without having to go in the back and not wishing that I had colored glasses on, not being afraid for people to see my eyes. Those are some of the things that I enjoy on a day-to-day basis. Those are some of the things that I want to continue to do. And also, I want to be loved without those whom I hope love me, being afraid to love me for fear that they will be harmed again. I think that's quite important to us. It's very important to me. I used to wonder why I didn't receive a lot of bouquets for all this effort that I had put forth in getting sober for all these people, all this family, and my employers. How utterly ridiculous can I get when I think such things? Didn't they tell me when I came into AA that I came here to get sober for Lad Skinner and Lad Skinner only? Otherwise, you might as well get off the premises. It was put to me that flatly. I remember once standing at 405 Oak Street in Cincinnati, Mary. Incidentally, I know why Mary is the type of person she is. She'll be surprised, I think, that I remember this. And I think Bill's wife comes from Madisonville, Kentucky, too, doesn't she, Bill? There's an archway that used to be over U.S. 41 going through that city on the south side and on the west side. Madisonville, Kentucky, heart of the coal field, the best town on the earth. How could you expect people other than that to come from Madisonville? Psychiatry, depending upon the analytic concept, has tried repeatedly to assist AAs, and with a great degree of success in some cases. They develop these conditions, which I won't attempt to name. They left them dangling up here without too much success, possibly, in getting rid of them. By these things, I mean these emotional disturbances, resentments, hatred, anger, fear, and all of those things. Now, not with the idea of downgrading that, not with the idea of being critical of the field, I don't mean that by any stretch of the imagination. Incidentally, Jerry kept the first appointment with the psychiatrist. I kept the second one, and several thereafter. And I want to admit that I got a tremendous amount of assistance there. I was fortunate enough to be exposed to a psychiatrist who suggested to me that a As much as I wanted to get rid of and do something about the alcoholic problem, and inasmuch as I had such utmost respect for AA and that I had been there before, that possibly it would be a good idea for me to return, and that I might get there what I am trying to get from him, because he doesn't feel that he is fully filling the bill. That, I believe, as I look back on it, was a nice way of saying, take your business across the street. I'm not too sure about that. AA, however, among other things, provides us something that I think behooves us to think about at this time and at this gathering and right now, if you will. And that is, it permits us and encourages us in this spiritual growth. It opens a new door to us. It opens a new way of looking at this idea that has been a little bit repulsive or repugnant to our way of thinking prior to the time we came into AA. It puts it in a little different light. It makes it a great deal more palatable to begin with. The idea of a spiritual way of life or a spiritual way of thinking was so much of a challenge to the way we were thinking, the way I was thinking, certainly, at the time I came into AA, that I found it very, very difficult to accept. But I noticed that the people in AA who had been around a great deal longer than I had when I first came in were getting something out of their sobriety that I was not getting. And I became curious about that, and I wanted that degree of happiness and that degree of peace of mind that those people apparently had. I began to ask questions. Literally, I asked questions. Well, fortunately, some people were forthright enough with me that they told me, and it was very difficult for me to accept it at the time. They asked me if I had ever seen a truly spiritual person, and I want to emphasize truly spiritual, who was not happy and who was not sober in AA. Well, I don't think that I have ever seen a truly spiritual person living this AA program of ours have difficulty with reverting back to drinking. I want to emphasize truly spiritual and truly living this program. So doesn't it behoove us to give consideration to every tool that's available to us? I believe that there are a number of people in AA, and I hope that someday I can be within that classification or that category. People who are living example of basic spiritual values. It becomes more attractive to me as time goes on, because I believe it is through that means that I can be of more value to my fellow men. I believe it's through that means that I can be a better person, that I can have a happier life. One of the ways that I can attain that spiritual approach to this program is through prayer, a simple and sincere affair. I believe our problems and our desires to do something about our drinking situation, our remorse, our mistakes, and our desire to get well will guide the nature of our prayers. My conception of what my God is a very vague and indefinite and indefinable sort of thing. But I can assure you one thing, that I have a deeply seated conviction that it is a person with whom and in whom I can commune without questions being asked. I know that it is a place where I can go and there will be no fingers pointed. I know that I can do that aloud. I know that I can stand here with that in the back of my mind as I try to talk with you. I know that I can think of it as I drive down the highway. It is always available to me. And I think it is only natural that when we are praying, that we will seek protection from procrastination, from resentments, from hatreds, from selfishness, from dishonesty, and ask and seek the power to not only know His will, but that we do His will. It's a hard and difficult road to go. It's extremely difficult for us to draw the line between the material things and the spiritual things. I don't necessarily think that they're incompatible, but I think that greed, avarice, avaricious, you know what I'm trying to say. I still haven't said it. That's going to sound not too good on your tape, Jim. But you know what I mean. And draw the line between those undesirable traits of character and personality defects and a spiritual way of life. I think and I maintain and I say to you that I think the best means of that is through prayer. Humble, sincere desire for His will and the knowledge and the wisdom to do His will. No bargains, no deals. Stand there, no alibis, no excuses, asking for the power to do His will and the power to know His will and the power to carry it out. I certainly should ask for the wisdom and the understanding and the physical and emotional strength to be able to handle this alcoholic problem that I have. And in only in handling of that problem are we able to do something about this drinking problem and to seek and attain some degree of sanity, some degree of respect in the community, some degree of love from our loved ones, and perhaps a little happiness along the way. Few of us will ever reach the top rung in the ladder of excellency. If we are a runner, there is someone who will probably be faster than we are. If we box, there is in all probability someone who can beat us. If we are intellectually inclined, there will be someone to outthink us. If we teach, preach, swim, shoot, or if we sell products, there is someone in our world, probably very close to us, who can excel us. There's no question about that. Well, what of it? Suppose we can't be the champion in our particular field, but there is one important opponent over whom we can prevail. And that is this. We have the God-given right and ability to be a better person today than we were yesterday. This is short, it's direct, and it's to the point. With the reading of these short four lines of a little verse that was written many, many years before A.A. was ever born, I will stop. There's a lot of thought in these four lines, and please listen closely. Not as a ladder from earth to heaven, not as a witness to any creed, but simple service, simply given to their own kind, and their common need.